This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
Tonight, I'm going to talk to you about my favorite subject in the New Testament, besides salvation. I'm going to talk to you about faith. I love the subject of faith. You know, on the earth, money is the currency we use. And if you go to a different country, you have to change your money. They won't take our money. In most countries, you have to change your money. But you know, if you went to heaven, there's no place for you to exchange your money in heaven, because you don't use money in heaven. In fact, you don't use money in the kingdom of God. The currency in the kingdom of God is faith. It's faith God's after. Everything we get from God, we get by faith. Now you say, wait a minute. I'm not saved by faith. I'm saved by grace. Well, wait a minute. Ephesians 2:8 says, we're saved by grace through faith. You got to have faith to believe. In Romans, it says you have to believe in your heart. That's faith. And you have to confess with your mouth. And then that grace comes to you of salvation. So even our salvation, faith is tied to our salvation. And you cannot please God without faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, I love this. It says this, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Isn't it interesting in Romans, when it's talking to us about our salvation and the procedure, the pathway we take in order to receive salvation, we believe in our heart, there's that word believe, and we confess with our mouth. And here, when we're talking about faith, and it's giving us an expansion of what God is looking for, it says we have to believe God exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently. Now, it'd be interesting for you to do a word search in the Bible on the word diligently, because there's a lot of blessings that come to the diligent person. But if we diligently seek him, we will have a reward. One more. You know, Jesus often, when he was healing someone, he would make a statement after he healed them. Sometimes he would say, go and stop sinning. Sometimes, but very often, probably the thing he said most was, your faith has made you whole. Your faith has made you whole. So let's answer the question, what is faith? I think it was so thoughtful of God to put a scripture in the Bible that actually defines faith. Because a lot of people don't know what it is. It has a lot to do with believing, and we'll talk about that word in a minute. But right now, let's look at again in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. And I want to share this scripture with you from three different translations. I want to do this for a couple of reasons. One, because I love all three of these translations, and they each give you a deeper meaning for the word faith. But also to encourage you when you're studying your Bible to read different translations. Now, some Bibles are not translations, they're interpretations. For instance, the Living Bible, and I'm going to use a scripture from the Living Bible, but it's not a translation, it's an interpretation. What's the difference? A translation is where the Hebrew and the Greek is translated. An interpretation is where someone takes the translation and gives you an interpretation of that. It would be the difference if someone came and started talking to me in Spanish, and somebody who was Spanish told me exactly what they meant, exactly what words they were saying, and somebody else said, well, this is really what he meant. That's the difference. And you need to know that. So there are a couple of Bibles that we look at a lot, and I read a lot. I enjoy them. As I said, I'm about to use the Living Bible. I like the Message. But don't let your doctrine come from the Living Bible or the Message, because they're not translations, they're interpretations. Well, that was a side trip, but something you needed to know. So what is faith? Well, the New King James says it like this in Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance, say substance, of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. So Hebrews 11:1 in the New King James tells us that faith is substance. When I think of substance, I think of maybe something like clay that I would build. It's substance. If something has substance, there's something to it. It's not in. It's not just air. It's substance. And faith is substance. And in this particular verse, it has an object. It is the substance of things you hope for. Hope is the object of your faith. Now, what does that mean? Well, if you're not hoping for anything, well, you have nothing for your faith to work on. If you're just, Marilyn Hickey, my good friend Marilyn Hickey, used to say a lot, if you're not believing God for anything in particular, that's what you're going to get, nothing in particular. But I like to be specific with God. And I like to specifically bring my petition to Him or bring my need to Him. Because, and then what I do, I like to get a scripture that goes with my need. For instance, if I'm sick, I may go to Isaiah 53 where it says, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. Or I may go to Romans chapter 8 to that wonderful scripture that says, if the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is alive in me, that he will quicken, give life, heal my mortal body by his spirit. Then I go to the Father and I say, Lord, here are your scriptures. And I have a picture in my mind of what I'm expecting to receive. I'm expecting to receive healing. And so the Lord can take my faith and take that picture and can use that to bring to me like a magnet what I'm praying for. That's the first one. Now, I like the Amplified Bible. And you know, I found in all the new Bibles, there are two Amplified Bibles. I like the classic Amplified Bible because that's the one I've read and memorized. And so it's more familiar to me. So I pull this same verse from the Amplified Bible. And it has a little line in it that I think is just dynamite. You know, women like the Amplified Bible because it's wordy. And we're wordy. But I like it because it takes the Hebrew and the Greek and expands it. So it'll tell you, it'll give you a word and it'll tell you a little bit more of what it could mean. So listen to what it says about faith. Now, faith is the assurance, say assurance. The confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for. There's that word hope again. It is the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Now, this is the line that I just love. It's in parentheses. And it says, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to our natural senses. Have you ever heard somebody say, when I see it, I'll believe it? That is not faith. No, faith sees it before you receive it. I think when I think of that line, my husband and I have lived in our dream house for over 20 years. But I believed God for that dream house for a long time before I got it. I used to, when we would drive by the Woodlands, we lived in Channelview. And when I would drive by the Woodlands, I would stretch out my hand and say, I thank you, Lord, someday I'm going to live in the Woodlands. And then we got the lot that our house is on. And our lot is lovely. It backs up to the golf course. And in my little house in Channelview, before we built, we had the lot for a couple of years before we built on it. And I would be washing dishes at my sink. I do wash dishes. I would be washing dishes at my sink, and I would look out the window, and I could almost see the golf course out there, and there was no golf course behind our house in Channelview. There was a drainage ditch. But I didn't see that drainage ditch. I saw the golf course because I was seeing things that didn't exist yet. I was looking out a window that hadn't been made yet. I was believing God for something I hadn't received yet. She said, do you really believe you can believe God for a house? I know you can. I've done it. Faith works. Faith is a powerful, powerful force. It's a powerful force. And it'll see things. It'll perceive things as real fact. In your healing, the devil will say you're never going to get well. The doctor will say you're never going to get well. But faith says God's going to heal you. And it may take time. I've had healings that I had arthritis in both my hips, and I prayed over it for several years before it manifested. But I don't have it anymore. Haven't had any pain in my hips in years. What happened? It became reality. It was revealed to my senses eventually. One more. This is the Living Bible. This is what it says. What is faith? It is the confident assurance that something we want is going to happen. It is the certainty that what we hope for is waiting for us, even though we cannot see it just ahead. Don't you like that? It is the confident assurance that what I'm believing for, what I've got a picture in my mind of, is waiting for me just ahead. It's waiting for you too. If you came up here tonight for prayer, Joyce said this to us recently. After you pray, you have to change your conversation. You have to change your conversation. You have to say this. Even if you still feel bad, even if your circumstances haven't changed, even if your child still has a problem, this is what you say. On July 11th, I had hands laid on me, and a prayer was said over me, and we agreed, and I believe that I receive what I have asked God for. That's what you have to say. I guarantee you the enemy will try to invade your mind and convince you that nothing happened. But he's a liar and the father of lies. And don't you forget it. Now, listen to the different words. I'm just going to list them for you. Several words in those three different interpretations. Assurance, that was the Amplified Bible. Confidence, that was the Living Bible. And substance, that was the King James, the New King James. Let me look at each one of those words and help you by defining that word a little bit. Faith is assurance. Assurance is the state of being confident in a condition or an outcome. I am confident of a condition or an outcome. I'm convinced. I have assurance. Here's the next one. Confidence. Let's just go a little further because if assurance is confidence, then faith is confidence. It is believing. Faith is believing. I have confidence in God. I have confidence in His Word. I have confidence. I believe God. In particular, it's confidence in God and confidence in the promises contained in the Word of God. Now, you will never know the promises contained in the Word of God until you crack the book. I mean, I can hold the Bible in my hand. I can say every promise in the book is mine. But if I never open the book, I'll never know what the promises are. I can even put it on the ground and stand on it and say, I'm standing on the Word of God. I actually know people that have done that, but not me. I haven't done that. It's confidence. It's believing God. It's believing His Word. And this is the last one. Faith is substance. Faith is substance. Webster defines substance as anything that has mass and takes up space. So faith is a building material of sorts. Now, I want to read you a paragraph out of a little book I read. It was written by a lady named Annette Capps. Her father was one of the best faith teachers, Charles Capps. Anybody ever read anything by Charles Capps or heard? If you're old, you probably have heard of him. And so that hand over there had to be old. But Charles Capps was a farmer from Arkansas, and he was a terrific Bible teacher. And his daughter is very, very educated. And she wrote a little book called Quantum Faith. Quantum Faith. Just a little bitty booklet. But listen to this little paragraph out of that book. Faith is an unseen energy force. It is not matter, but it creates matter and actually becomes matter. Faith energized words. Faith energized words will convert energy to matter. Faith energized words will convert energy to matter. Faith is the raw material from which all matter is made. It is the invisible substance from which your physical world was and is created. God used faith substance and word energy to create the universe. Don't you love that? God used faith substance and word energy. So we got to get our faith substance and we got to put it in our mouth and get our word energy going so that we can see the invisible and receive the impossible. Because that's what God wants to give us. You know, I've walked with the Lord a lot of years, and I've probably told you this little story before, but as we go as far as we're going to go tonight, I want to share this little story with you. In the 90s, I had signed a contract for television. I mentioned my house to you. It was probably 92 when this happened, maybe the early part of 1993. And also at that time, my husband's company had sold, and he was between deciding what he was going to do with his career. So there we were in our little house in Channelview. And there I was with a contract for television. I don't know if you have any idea how expensive television is, but we're not millionaires. And it cost a lot of money. And I was out on my patio one Sunday afternoon, and I was really under stress. Anybody ever felt stressy? I felt pressure. I felt this incredible pressure, and I was praying. I remember my exact prayer. I said, Lord, I don't need a new house. Now, remember I told you I'd been believing God for a house in the Woodlands for years? And now here's about to give it to me, and I say, Lord, I don't need that house. Just thought I'd tell you I don't need that house. This is what I said to him. I said, I don't need that house. This little house is paid for. I don't need a house payment. I'll just stay here. And by the way, Lord, I don't need television. I don't need this contract for television. I'll just continue teaching in conferences and doing my Bible study. I'll just be happy doing that. And the Lord spoke to me almost out loud. Now, I've never heard his audible voice, but this was so loud in my spirit, I just really shocked me. This is what he said. I take no pleasure in those who draw back. Wow. Well, you know, I'm a Bible teacher. He was quoting scripture to me. And I knew where it was found. That's Hebrews 10:38. And this is what it says in the King James Version. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, or woman in my case, if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in them. I thought, oh, wow, are you mad at me? And he's, no. What I'm telling you is if you step out of faith, I cannot give you your promise. And then he said this to me. He said, you have been to this place before, and you drew back. You're about to birth your miracle, but you drew back because you were afraid, because you felt pressure. And this is what he said to me. He said, you have to press into the pressure. You have to press into that, because when you're birthing a baby, and women know about this, when you're birthing a baby, you have to press in. And this is what he said to me. What you're feeling is the necessity of your faith having to expand to accommodate your miracle. Oh, think about that. And he said this to me. He said, you know, in the case of birthing, natural birthing, there comes a time in that birthing process where it can't be stopped. I mean, you know, most women, myself included probably, when it comes to a certain time in birthing, we'd like to forget the whole thing and adopt. And hit our husbands while we're thinking about it. Especially when they're saying, it'll be all right, honey, it'll be all right. And they're not experiencing what we're experiencing. But you can't stop it. In fact, he said, if the birthing process stopped at that point, the baby would die. That's why they do cesareans, to get that baby out quickly if something happens. But in the realm of the spirit, oh, this just broke my heart. In the realm of the spirit, when you are believing God for your miracle, whatever that may be, at any time, you can stop it. You can draw back, and that miracle will remain unbirthed inside you. Then he gave me an example from the Bible. He said, do you remember the Israelites in the wilderness? Of all those Israelites that came out of Egypt, that crossed over on dry land through the sea, that drank of water out of the rock, that ate of the manna, how many of those Israelites inherited the promise? Anybody know? Joshua and Caleb. Two. Joshua and Caleb. The rest of them died in the wilderness. Oh, wow. I said, Lord, I'm going to do it. And I did it. I pressed through. We live in the house, and I had a television ministry. But what I want you to know is whatever you're believing God for, you got to understand that there's a pressure that comes in faith where your faith must expand. It has to get bigger. It has to accommodate. And the more you press in and the more you believe God, the more opportunity you will have to expand your faith, because God will give you greater and greater opportunities to use your faith. Simply put, we got to believe God more than we believe anything else. There's a narrative, and I'm going to stop. Well, you know what? I'm going to give you this, and then I'll stop. There's a narrative in the book of Mark 9, about a man. Jesus had been on the Mount of Transfiguration. He came back down into camp, and the man met him. And this man had a sick child. I'll tell you, it's worse to have a sick child than to be sick yourself. And he had a sick child, and he said, "Jesus, I brought my child to the disciples, and they could not heal him." And he has seizures. He didn't call it seizures. He just said a spirit attacks him and throws him into the fire. And in this case, it was a spirit. Now, seizures are not, don't say everybody that has a seizure has a demon, because that is not true. Seizures are caused by brain electrical dysfunctions of some kind. I'm not a doctor. I don't know about that. But I know it's not always demons. But in this case, this child had a demon. And so he came to Jesus and he said, Would you please minister deliverance? And listen to what Jesus said to him. Now, why didn't Jesus just turn around and say, "Come out of that kid in the name of..." Well, he was Jesus. Come out of that kid. But listen to what he said. Jesus said to the man, "If you can believe, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." If you can believe, all things are possible to those who believe. Isn't that a powerful statement? All things, not just spiritual things, are possible to those that believe. No, all things. Something. No, all things are possible to them that believe. And immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I do believe, but help my unbelief." Well, that sounds sort of odd, doesn't it? You know, I've been there. "Lord, I believe you. I believe you're God. You created the heavens and the earth. I believe there's nothing impossible for you. But I'm looking at a situation now, and I need strong faith to do this. So help me believe more. Help me believe bigger. Help my faith expand to accommodate my miracle." Is that you tonight? Is that you? Now, Jesus cast that demon out of that child. And then his disciples said, "Why couldn't we do this?" And he said, "You know, sometimes, fellas, it takes prayer and fasting." Now, let me say, when you're believing God for something, sometimes it takes extra prayer and fasting. Sometimes a part of building your faith is extra prayer and fasting. You got to go the extra mile. If it's important enough for you to want it, then it's important enough for you to go the extra mile. Next week, we're going to look at some faith facts that will help your faith expand to accommodate your miracle. But right now, I want to take time to pray over you first for your faith. And then I want to give everybody here an opportunity to receive Christ as your Savior. So bow your heads and let me pray over you first about your faith. Father, I ask you to anoint us and to help us to have bigger faith. Lord, we believe, but would you please touch those little areas of doubt and cause us to believe more? Cause us to expect more. Cause us to speak more what you want us to speak. Cause us to discover the promises you want to give us. Oh, Lord, do a work of the Spirit in us, not just for ourselves, but so that you can use us to bring your kingdom to the earth. You can use us to encourage people around us. You can use us, Lord, to pray for sick people and they'll be healed, because faith has become so much a part of us and our faith has expanded so much that it not only helps us, but it helps others. Thanks for doing that, Father, in Jesus' name. Now, while you have your heads bowed, let me ask you this question. Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is your Lord? Are you in this building and you have never made Jesus the Lord of your life? If that's you, the beginning of faith, you have enough faith in you tonight to receive Jesus. If you've never believed God for anything, God has given you the measure of faith that you need to receive Christ. So if that's you, and you would like to receive Christ, I want you to slip your hand in the air, just all over the building. I'm watching. Just slip your hand in the air. I'm going to pray. I'm not going to embarrass you or call you forward. I'm just going to pray with you, but just slip your hand in the air. Or if you say, Billy, I know and God knows that I've received Christ, but I'm away from Him tonight. I need to rededicate my life, and I would like for you to pray with me. Anybody here like that? You'd like to rededicate your life to the Lord? As I look over the building. Well, let's pray together. We're going to all pray with you to help you and make you more comfortable, even if you didn't lift your hand. But you just really want to rededicate your life, or you want to make Jesus the Lord of your life, then pray with us. Pray this prayer. Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior, and I know I cannot save myself. Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe You died on the cross for my sins. And God raised You from the dead. Right now, I confess You as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank You, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with You. I'm a new creation in Christ. Because I've said yes to You.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.